Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 150, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, give thou ear to my plea, and hide not thyself from my cry. O hearken, and answer thou me, as restless and weary I sigh. 1 through 4 of Psalter 150.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 15th chapter, the first 28 verses. Matthew 15, verses 1 through 28. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the men. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-searching God, who knowest the inmost heart and thought of each one of us, even as we try to draw nigh to thee. Thou who also hast spoken of that people who draw nigh to thee with their mouth, but their heart is far from thee. Then thou searchest our hearts and triest our reins also. And who is able to put his hand into his own bosom and to take it out clean? But it shall be leprous white as snow. Then our only hope and expectation is that thou may cleanse our hearts, and that thou would take them from wandering all over this world, even after all that is carnal and passing away, that our hearts may again be made to hunger and to thirst after thee, the true and the living God, who art so worthy to be served. Lord, wilt thou forgive all of our many, many sins? And wilt thou show to us what they are, that our hearts may also be humbled in the dust of self-abasement before thee, that we may not go on in a way of self-deceit? For out of our hearts also proceed all evil, which do defile us, each and every one. Lord, convert us, and grant us that power of thy Spirit to be experienced for the first or by renewal, and that thou may make unto us precious thy dear Son, whom thou hast sent into the world, and that he may pay the price for sin, and that for those who can do nothing else. Lord, that thou may give us to long for him, to desire him, that he may indeed be altogether lovely in our sight. We do not see in him that loveliness, unless thou thyself will work it in our hearts. Lord, do so for the first or by renewal, even in this very hour, if it could please thee, that thou may use thy own word and all that we have been given in thy providence by our fathers, that insight and by thy spirit into that way wherein thou leadest all thy people to make room for thyself, that they may experience that great wonder that thou didst give thyself even unto death, that thou may bring thy people again to the heart of the Father. Lord, that thou may so look on us that that desire may be born in the hearts of children and parents and grandparents and all of us together. Look on us in all the needs and cares of this life, which can be so many, those that do recover from operations, and those that do suffer from serious diseases. Wilt thou supply for each one of the weak and all the handicapped and invalids and blind and deaf and dumb and lame in this world? And wilt thou cause the hearts of men, under all the consequences of our sin, to stop and to consider that which we have, that manner in which we have been created, and how far that we have fallen away from thee. Turn us as nations unto thee and to thy testimonies. Do look upon all that rule and reign over us. Do cause them to bow their knees in the public places also. And Lord, when we do put forth from time to time our feeble efforts to make our voices also to be heard within our own governments, and that thy voice may also be heard by them, that thou may speak of it in their hearts, and that thou may convince of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and that thou may turn the heart, as we have heard in this morning hour, thou art able to not judge us as nations as we so justly deserve. Do remember all that bring thy word, and all those that go to the far ends of the world, and those that suffer persecution for thy name's sake, that they may also be given their reward, and not of merit but of grace, and that thou may strengthen and encourage them in all their ways. Lord, do look upon the nation of the Jews, that thou may open their poor blind eyes and give them to see that they have rejected the Son of God, and that thou may yet have mercy upon that nation to bring them to bow before thee in truth and before thine only begotten Son. Wilt thou supply for all of the youth and the children? Wilt thou look upon our school, the school board and the teachers? Wilt thou remember from day to day to give strength for the day, to give patience in the labors of their hands day by day, and that thou may give help unto our children, that they may receive faithfulness and diligence in their labors, but also help from Thee to learn their lessons, and that Thou may teach them obedience to fathers and to mothers and to teachers and to office bearers in obedience to Thee. And oh, could it please Thee to take their young hearts by heart and by hand. Remember those who are educated in their own homes or in other places. Wilt Thou supply for all them also. And Lord, bless the means to their young hearts. And wilt Thou remember all that have become old, and those that do draw near unto the gates of death. Wilt Thou supply, as Thou alone art able, give unto all that are in the prisons true repentance. And when they are there in an innocent way, wilt Thou encourage them in Thy mercy. Lord, that Thou may teach us all our just desert, that we might learn to plead Thy mercy and Thy grace, that it also may be in this afternoon hour, when we may consider it out of our Heidelberg Catechism, which we may see over and over, that is drawn out of Thy holy word. Lord, may Thou then instruct us in that way, and lead us young and old in Thy truth, that we may not only know and hear it in our minds, but that our hearts may be led in it, and that Thou would do in our midst wonders, and when we can do nothing for ourselves but work out our own destruction, take reasons then out of Thyself to help us once more in this afternoon hour, to speak and to hear, and grant Thou Thy indispensable blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 229, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. How lovely, Lord of hosts, to me and the tabernacles of Thy grace. Oh, how I long, yea, faint, to see Thy hallowed courts, Thy dwelling place. For Thee, my heart and spirit sigh, for Thee, O living God, I cry. The last collection today is for our school. Psalter 229, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. Congregation, what a low place that the Lord brought this Canaanitish woman. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She did see herself as so unworthy. And yet she cried unto the Lord Jesus. And she had many discouragements. As we can hear, that there is no answer, and then discouragements in that answer, and yet she does not go away. No, Reverend Comrie, he describes faith also by the word cleaving according to the scriptures. And so we see that also in that woman, that though there are many discouragements, though according to our human nature we would say, why is it that that woman does not now go away? The disciples themselves would have told her to go away. And yet she does not go away. She cannot go away. And why cannot she go away? Because she has a need. And when that need does not go away, then she cannot go away either. Is that also so with us? Because that is now the life that our fathers, they do describe in our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 5, in questions 12 through 15. Lord's Day 5, questions 12 through 15. Question 12. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? Answer, God will have his justice satisfied. Therefore, we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. Question 13. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Answer, by no means, but on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Question 14. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? Answer, none. And for first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man hath committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. Question 15. What sort of mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? Answer, for one who is very man and perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is also very God. So far, our Lord's Day, the satisfaction of the justice of God. First, this satisfaction is necessary. Second, this satisfaction cannot be made by us. And third, there is a way that this satisfaction can be made. The satisfaction of the justice of God. First, this satisfaction is necessary. Second, this satisfaction cannot be made by us. And third, there is a way that this satisfaction can be made. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. How differently, congregation, we hear the inquirer speaking in the beginning of this Lord's Day in this question. We have heard this inquirer asking questions before. What were they? Doth God not do injustice to man by requiring that which he cannot perform? Thus, that he has attempted to cast the blame upon the Lord, that he has asked, why is it that the Lord still then attempts to find fault with me? And then he tries something else. Will God suffer such disobedience to go unpunished? Or perhaps then maybe the Lord will just look the other way. Maybe the Lord will look through his fingers at our sin. And then, is not God then also merciful? Or will not God then step off of the throne of his justice that he may ascend the throne of his mercy? And what is the answer each time? By all of these means, and that inquirer has to learn, and that he is not able to escape in such a way, that such diversions, they are not going to help him. In Pilgrim's Progress, we read that Bunyan, he speaks about byways. And then there are those, they go down this route and they go down that route. But the Lord, he is taking care of his pilgrim. And then the Lord is not suffering his pilgrim to make an error, though he is at times trying to go off to the right hand or to the left. Here we read where the Lord is bringing his people. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Thus, what do we hear? We hear that he is brought into submission with that righteous judgment of God. We deserve. No man does not come in this place of himself. When we are honest, and then also in a natural way, we are fighting and fighting and fighting against coming in such a place. And the greatest wonder for us is if the Lord will work through. If the Lord will not give in unto us, but if the Lord, he will bring us in that place where we will never come of ourselves. Or if the Lord will do for us what Joseph has done unto his brethren, because they are not admitting their guilt either in the beginning. No, they are speaking about their father. Oh, they say, we are just men. And, yes, one is not. But they do not want to say anything more about that one who is not. No, because they want to still uphold themselves to be true men. And it is only when the Lord himself is becoming too strong for us. It is only when the Lord himself is working through. It is only when the Lord himself is uncovering a man, and that a man will be brought in a different place. And what is happening when the Lord indeed is working through, as the Lord will work through with every one of his own children, then he is bringing them in that same place. As we read here in our catechism of this inquirer, and that he has to come face to face with that righteous judgment of God, Oh, did the Lord ever bring us to such a place in our life? Then he sees by that righteous judgment of God that he is guilty. And then he finds that he is not able to come out from under this anymore. No, he is not able to go to the right hand or unto the left. And then he sees that there is no way but that he is deserving of that punishment. And that punishment of the Lord is so righteous that it is so very, very just. Oh, did the Lord ever bring us into such a place? Did the Lord ever find out the iniquity of his servant? Oh, did the Lord ever point out to us that justice of God and that is not able to be worked around from the side of man? The Lord is cutting off all of our hope that we only deserve in body and soul to suffer the punishment. There are young people, persons in this world that also lose all hope. And they have never been brought up as you. Or they have never heard, many of them, of that only hope. There are so many that really do not know of any place to go. There are so many that have never been taught to bow their knees. There are so many that know nothing of what it is to have an inner chamber. And then when hope that is being cut off, and when there is discouragement in this world, and then man is going to that awful extreme of taking his own life. Oh, the inquirer here, he is asking actually such a question. It is as if that inquirer, he would confirm the worst of his fears. Or maybe we have had fears for our life, fears for our health. Then we have gone to the physician, and then we have asked him, and we have said, physician, be now honest with me. And tell me everything. Oh, really now, is there any hope for me that I may recover from this disease? Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and again be received into favor? Or what do that people then expect to hear? Or they are expecting to hear that awful answer. That answer that says, no. That answer that says, there is no way for you anymore. Or do you ever fear, congregation, to hear such an answer? Do you ever go through that holy word of God and find that it seems like every one of the curses that are written in that holy book and that they are so directed at you yourself that you fear that one day one of those curses that is now going to be laid against you, that is going to be applied to you so that there is no more hope for your soul? Or are there people today that have such fears that your hopes, they are cut off, that you fear that really it is impossible for you, that your sins, they come up before a holy and a righteous God. that there seems to be no answer from heaven upon all your supplications, and that the time that goes on and on, oh, that you say also with this inquirer, is there no way that I may escape that punishment and yet be received into favor? And then what is the answer of our catechism? No, what is the answer of the Lord Himself? God will have His justice satisfied. Oh, it is a confirmation. It is a confirmation that there is no way of salvation outside of the complete satisfaction of that justice of God. Oh, the attributes of God, they cannot change. God cannot change. God is not able to deny Himself. That seems like such an awful answer, does it not? Or it seems like it is so harsh to this inquirer. And we hear here a person that is brokenhearted. And then to receive such an answer, you say it is going to destroy him completely. And yet it is not so. We have come to the part of our catechism that speaks not about misery, but that speaks about deliverance. And here we read also of the first beginnings of that deliverance. The Lord does not place upon that people more than that they are able to bear. But there is faith. There is faith, true saving faith, that is planted in the heart of this inquirer. And then there is something. There is something that is making that people to cleave, to hold on, even as the Canaanitish woman, and that they are not able to go away, because as much as it seems like the Lord, He is coming against them, or the Lord, on the other hand, He is drawing that people unto Himself. Do you know what is now the greatest wonder for this inquirer? The greatest wonder for him is and that the Lord, He has not said no. Oh, when he has asked him, is there no way? Then it is the greatest wonder to him that that answer that has not yet come back, that there is no way, there is absolutely no way, and that it is possible that you can be received anymore into that favor of the Lord. But he received not such an answer. And that is such a great wonder. What do we read in this answer? And then we read about the satisfaction of the justice of God. Thus we hear that there is a change in the tone. And then there is not a speaking about the punishment, no. But there is a speaking about satisfaction. Satisfaction. And on this thought, oh, that inquirer, he delights to dwell. Oh, that is, as it were, already somewhat of a relief. Oh, just to consider for a moment the possibility of satisfaction. Thus, there is hope in it for him. Why? Because he says, oh, perhaps. Oh, perhaps there is a way yet that justice of God may yet be satisfied. And oh, if that could be, then there is still a way that may be for me. Does he see how that is possible? Oh, he cannot see it at all. But he hears full satisfaction must be made either by ourselves or by another? What do you think he tries first, children? What do you think he tries first? We hear that in the next question. That is our second thought. Can we ourselves then make dissatisfaction? Oh, that is the next expectation of the people of the Lord. That seeking people, that they might make satisfaction themselves of that justice of God. You say, is that the Lord's people? Yes. Oh, the Lord has made them seekers. No, we do not seek that of ourselves. We do not inquire as this man is inquiring of ourselves. But that inquirer has so much to learn. He has so much to learn of himself. He has so much to learn concerning himself. He has so much to learn of how deeply he has fallen, how great that his sin and his misery is. And then there is an expectation. There is an expectation from his side that needs so completely to be stripped away. What is then the answer to this question? Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? By no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. You know that too, right, young people? You could have given that answer also, or not. Because you learned that in catechism class. And we learned that in confession class. And we hear that from Sabbath to Sabbath. Thus, yes, you also can give such an answer. Is that sufficient then? That we know such an answer that is not sufficient. By no means, but on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Here is a lesson. Here is a lesson that needs to be experienced in the life of the people. We daily increase our debt. Or how is that learned? It is not learned because our mother, our father, our catechism teacher has taught us this. No, that is learned in the practice of our life. It is learned in the effort to work out our own salvation. What are the words in the practice of that debtor? But that heavenly high debt, what is the intent of his heart in the practice that is, Lord, just a little longer. Oh, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee everything. Are there such people in our midst? Oh, that you try to pay off your debt. That you try to appease the Lord. That you say, no, I will not sin anymore. Because that which makes separation between God and my soul, and that is my sin. Oh, I will leave off with my iniquity. I will walk in my house with a perfect heart. I will keep myself from all my transgressions. There are those that condemn you. Oh, yes, they condemn you even out of the Word of God. And they say to you, it is useless. They stand high above you. And they say, what now are you trying to do? Because this way that you go, that is impossible. Yes, they know it better. But do not mind them. Because actually they do not know what they say. Yes, they may speak words of truth. Yes, they may speak out of that holy word of God, but they do not understand the way that you travel. Joab was also right. He was right when he told David that he had to go out to meet that army after the death of Absalom. But Joab was wrong in the spirit because he did not understand. He didn't understand what? He didn't understand what David was suffering. He didn't understand what the judgment of God was upon David and upon the sin of David. That sword was not going to depart from his house. Or the death of Absalom. The death of Absalom was David's own fault. And then Job may be right in his words, but Joab was not right in his heart. He has several times reproved David, but he has gone lost himself. Oh, there is a people. There is a people, they are trying to pay off their own debt. Where does that come from? Oh, that comes out of love. That comes out of love to God, that they cannot miss God. Do you know what that is? That is a fruit of the Lord's own work. That is a fruit of the Lord's own drawing. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Oh, doctrinally, yes. Doctrinally, then we know it is impossible. But now the practice. In the practice, we must learn the impossibility. And then it is not the duty of the shepherd that he is beating the sheep over the head with his rod. No. But it is the duty of that shepherd that he may now lead the people. Can he now rush the work of the Lord? Or what did Jacob say to Esau? He said, you go on. You go on. Why? Because I have here the mothers and the children and all these sheep and the little ones. You cannot rush them. No, otherwise you will slay them. And the Lord congregation is not in a hurry in general. And you cannot rush that work of the Lord. It is a work that is taught in the experience of the life. Here is the lesson. By no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. That's the reality of our life. Do you know what we think in the beginning? We think in the beginning that we can change that. We say in the beginning, Lord, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? That is the desire. That is the intention. And then it must be experienced that we cannot. Then we must experience that all my unrighteousnesses, no, all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. With everything that we can do, with all that we refrain from doing, then it must be experienced that we are going in the wrong direction, that debt is not getting less. Know that debt that is getting greater. Is that not what Luther experienced? When he went time and time again to make confession of his sin, and he thought that now everything would be well. And what happened? Then he had to come back again. Why? O the Spirit of the Lord, hast thou seen this, O Son of Man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. Know not only that I cannot pay off my past debt, but that that debt is not decreasing, but it is daily increasing. That they must learn what? The root. All the root is corrupt. That an evil tree is not able to bring forth good fruit. Then it must be experienced that they cannot even begin. They cannot even begin to pay off that great debt. And so that way of a personal satisfaction of the justice of God must be cut off. Congregation, is there now a people in our midst for whom this way is cut off? The way of a personal satisfaction, until this takes place, we will never give up upon ourselves. We will never give up upon our own strength. And we will never look for another way. Oh, yes, we can speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. But if our effort has not yet come to an end, then the reality is no place for Him. Why do we need the arm of the Lord if our own arm is still able to save us? And why should the Lord receive the honor if perhaps I can still receive the honor? But when now there is no way anymore, no way anymore from my own side, then I need a way from another side. When I am convinced of this fountain of corruption and that I can only increase my debt, then, and only then, will my heart be willing to look for another way. That is our third thought, but let us sing from Psalter 83, 1, 2, and 3. Oh, how blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 83. Thank you. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature, able to satisfy for us? Here, congregation, and then we hear this inquirer, and he is beginning to go now in the right way. The eyes of that inquirer, they have ceased to look upon himself. That is a way that has now come unto an end. And now those eyes, they have begun to look outside. Outside of himself for help. That is now a step in the right direction. And still it is not in the right place. But upon we read a mere creature. Oh, when the Lord will bring a person so low, then he looks with great respect unto whom he believes are the true people of the Lord. How many times will he not go to them for help? And that he will ask them if they will pray for him. And yet, they have to experience, though that we may try to pray for one another, yet they cannot help them either. No, because they need that same grace. And though they look for it from angels, though they look for it from saints, though they look for it from the blood of bulls and of goats, they are always disappointed. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? None. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which men have committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. It is not possible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sins. Man must be punished. He must be punished both in body and in soul. The animals have no soul. And the angels, they have no body. And therefore, none of them are able to satisfy for me. Man, he also must be punished eternally. Oh, what creature? What creature is able to come out from such a suffering? From an eternal suffering? No, we can enter into such a suffering, but we are not able ever to come out from it, because it will never be to the complete satisfaction of that justice of God. Nor will God punish any other creature for his sin which man hath committed. Man is not Lord over his own life. That he is able to give himself to satisfy for his fellow creature. Moses said to the Lord, "Blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book." That is, for all that nation. But it cannot be accepted by the Lord. Thus, every other way outside of that one and only way has to be experimentally cut off in the life of the people. Why? That they may submit. That they may submit unto the way of the Lord. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? For one who is very man and perfectly righteous and yet more powerful than all creatures. That is one who is also very God. The instructors, they do not say yet the name of that mediator. Thus the person of the mediator is here still hidden. But what is revealed? The necessary qualifications of that mediator between God and man. when the Lord Jesus walked with those two men on the way to Emmaus, then he spake to them, about whom? About himself. But he still hid himself, that he did not reveal himself yet unto them. What did he speak about? He spoke about what that mediator would have to do. It behooved him, we read, he says to them, it behooved him to suffer. And when the Lord Jesus spoke about himself, then what do we read? Then we read the heart of those two men began to burn. They still do not know who he is. Or so we read it also in the heart of this inquirer. Does that also take place in the heart of some of us? Oh, then he delights to hear of the qualifications already of that mediator, though he does not know who that mediator is. What is the Lord doing? The Lord is drawing that people closer and closer to the solution of all their difficulties. Oh, step by step, the Lord is giving unto his people that necessary instruction. He says, no, you are not able to take away that breach. He convinces them of it. Nor is any other creature. But he shows them that they need a mediator and deliverer. And also what kind of a mediator and deliverer that they need. But we hope to see more of that, the Lord willing, next time. Thus, congregation, we all need a mediator. Or we need a mediator. You need a mediator. Do you believe this? By nature, we do not. We do not. By nature, we do not, because actually we do not believe that we are lost. Our intellect receives it, but we have no saving impression, no saving knowledge of this in our heart. We do not believe and we do not long for a different state than that state that we are in, that state wherein we are born. We are not grieved. We are not grieved because we are in this world without God. We do not desire his communion. We do not desire his favor. Or is it different? If it never becomes different, then we also will never need this mediator. Nor will we ever ask after that mediator in truth. Nor will it ever truly become Christmas for us? Or is there a people for whom it is different? Is there a people for whom that breach between God and our soul, that is unbearable? Are there young, are there old, that cannot endure the separation between God and your soul? Or are you not able to make it right with God? Do all your labors only teach you more of your poverty? Can you not see the way? Oh, does the justice of God stand in that way? Must you die because you say, it is my own sin? But does your heart yet sometimes burn within you while he talks with you by the way? Oh, he hides himself. He hides himself, and yet sometimes then you feel something of his nearness. Sometimes you feel something of his presence. Oh, sometimes you say it is so, so good that we may be in that house of the Lord. No, it is not a solution. No, it is not a solution, but there are tokens. The Lord makes you to cleave. And then it is as Ruth. And what she may receive sometimes upon those fields of Boaz. That we read, he reached her parched corn. Then she may eat. But she did not know who he was. And do you know what he said to her? He said, or what he said, that she should not go into another field, but that she should abide there, fast by his maidens. And then the day soon comes that she finds out who has been speaking to her, that she finds out who has been feeding her. Oh, then one day she may receive that great blessing that she may be married unto him. Or are they not precious steps wherein the Lord is leading his people? Or will he not give you then to cleave? Will he not give you then to wait patiently for him? That greater Boaz, that he may show himself, that he may reveal himself. Oh, what did Naomi say to her? She said, the man, he will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. And so will be the experience of everyone who is not a stranger of what it is to be fed out of his hand in his time. Amen. O Lord, wilt thou remember thy own? Thou knowest where that they are. And our fathers, they may give to us this precious instruction, wherein those that are destitute may receive hope, wherein they may cleave, wherein they may remain in the fields of that greater Boaz, though that way that is so dark for them, though they do not see it, though they cannot speak of it, yet they sometimes can feed off of it. Lord, remember them. Oh, increase their number among us. And that thou may give desire, that thou may give life from the dead, and a hunger and a thirst, that we may not be strangers of the instruction that we may receive out of our Heidelberg Catechism. Wilt thou look on us then further in this day? Be with us in our own homes or wherever that we may be, in thy house also, in this evening, in other places. Lord, may thou supply for all those who bring and hear thy word. Go with us in the week to come. Remember us when we meet as a consistory. Remember each one in the labors of our hands in this life. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen. 73, 2, 5, and 6. O Lord, regard me when I cry. In mercy, hear me when I speak. Thou bidst me seek thy face. And I, O Lord, with willing heart reply, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. 2, 5, and 6 of Psalter 73.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.